Enron's bankruptcy may be the biggest in American history, but writer and historian Edmund Morris says the current administration might still look to the past for guidance in its dealings with big business.
Today marks the centennial of the day in 1902 when Theodore Roosevelt launched his historic prosecution of the Northern Securities Company, the Enron of its time. There'll be plenty more centennials of this sort over the next 7 years because TR, as Henry Adams once rather wearily remarked, was pure act, and he managed to seize the headlines with some major initiative about once every 6 months. But the Northern Securities bombshell was the loudest of his young presidency. Its reverberations echoed down Wall Street, shaking the complacency of corporate moguls who had gotten used to making their millions, their tax-free millions, in almost total secrecy. U.S. versus Northern Securities was basically an antitrust suit against the world's largest railroad monopoly. It revived the almost defunct Sherman antitrust law and won TR his enduring reputation as the trust-buster president. In that respect, you could compare it to the Justice Department's recent attempt to break up Microsoft, the only difference being that Roosevelt's prosecution succeeded. The Enron parallel is more subtle and more moral. What incensed the president about Northern Securities was the fact that its chief executives and money men had constructed a financial empire literally at dead of night behind closed doors. Moguls like Edward H. Harriman always operated that way, whether their smaller shareholders liked it or not. They believed that confidentiality was a corporate necessity. They were as passionate in keeping government out of the boardroom as we are now about keeping it out of the bedroom. TR was equally passionate in his belief that the inner workings of interstate corporations should be as public as possible. Just as he had determined early in life to pay back his own advantages of breeding and wealth by means of public service, he felt that big businessmen had no right to fatten at the trough of free enterprise without allowing the public to monitor their feeding habits. In other words, they must accept government regulation, and the fatter they got, the more stringent that regulation had to be. In retrospect, the Northern Securities suit shouldn't have been so much of a shock to Wall Street. TR had already sounded a high moral note in his annual message to Congress, the equivalent 100 years ago of the State of Union address now. "The first essential," TR declared, "in determining how to deal with the great industrial corporations is knowledge of the facts, publicity." More to the point, as we reread his message today, is this passage, which might be engraved in brass outside Enron's skyscraper headquarters. "It is no limitation of property rights or freedom of contract to require that when men receive from government the privilege of doing business under corporate form, that they shall do so upon absolutely truthful representations as to the value of the property in which the capital is to be invested." President Bush and the young aides around him commendably hold Theodore Roosevelt up as a model Republican president for our times. But in doing so, they should remember that the longer TR remained in office, the more anti-corporate he got. His desire for a centralized, regulatory authority grew to the point that Finlay Peter Dunne, the Irish dialect humorist, wisecracked, "He's a great man, and the thing I like best about him is that in the dark, you can hardly tell him from a Democrat."
Edmund Morris is the author of the biography Theodore Rex.